What? Welcome to the Kook Center podcast, and here's your host.
It's terrible! She has beautiful eyes, and her hair smells like cinnamon!
Michael Preston.
Oh! Ah, yes, welcome into the Kook Center podcast. I am, as always, because who else would I be? I wouldn't change my name. Michael the Golden Throat Preston. I especially wouldn't change that middle part because, Jeff, you gave that nickname to me and it's sticking for the rest of my natural and professional life. But you know what? It's one that's rememberable, I think. You can remember that name. Even if it creeps you out or it scares the bejesus out of you, you remember the Golden Throat, that's for sure. Sounds like a Linda Lovelace movie, though, a little bit, doesn't it? Plenty to get to here on the Kook Center podcast. I got Kyle Rancourt coming up for you. In just a few minutes, we'll talk about Cody Clemens transferring, what that means for the quarterback position at Washington State. For one thing, just give you a little preview, probably just a little bit of a depth issue. Clemens was probably always going to transfer, finally pulls the trigger on that. We do wish the young man nothing but the most success in the world, but we'll talk a little bit more about that and if there could be a little bit of a quarterback battle come fall next year. But first, something else to get to. Released late last week, the 2013 conference schedule. Actually, the 2013 WSU football schedule. It came along with the conference schedule. But now we know at least the order that we're going to be playing those games in. We knew who we were going to play. Now we know the order. And I think the words this schedule sets up for a fast start are ones I'm not going to hear this year. Thank goodness they got a little old hearing that last year. You have to go to Auburn, Alabama, and then come home, or just, well, closer to home anyway, to the West Coast to play USC. Down in Los Angeles. Now, I realize neither of these teams was very good in terms of their historically, you know, good performances as a team last year. You had Auburn with just 3 wins, firing Gene Chizik. Gus Malzahn comes in. USC, after being ranked number one preseason, wins just 7 games, including a loss in the Sun Bowl to Georgia Tech. Monty Kiffin, quote-unquote, resigns. So, USC looking for a new defensive coordinator. They'll need a new quarterback next year for all the bad play Matt Barkley had this year. He was at least dependable back there for USC, and now you're going to have to go to Max Whittick in all likelihood. Ooh, that does not inspire confidence if I'm a USC Trojan fan. However, those two football teams still very, very good, and to have to go two on the road to open the season, that's not easy if you're trying to get to a bowl game coming off a 3-win year for Washington State. If you're trying to get to a bowl game in Mike Leach's second season, that doesn't really set you up for success early on. Now, you do come home to face Southern Utah and Idaho. Homecoming! What a homecoming game. And we'll get to a little more of that sarcasm in a second. So those two games you should win. But beyond that, your conference schedule sets up pretty tough. Okay, you have Stanford in Seattle, and I know a lot of us don't like the Seattle game. I'm kind of coming around to that thought as well. But at least that's going to be the game in Seattle instead of Oregon State in the middle of October, so you don't go nearly a month without a home game in Martin Stadium. After that, your next home game on Halloween night against Arizona State, and I don't think I can come up with a better place to be Halloween night on national TV than Pullman, Washington. I expect to see some of the most just outrageous things occurring in the stands, some of the best costumes, and there are going to be lots of co-eds that are just scantily clad, and ESPN's cameras won't be able to avoid them. I anticipate at least 2 or 3 FCC fines coming out of that. I don't think there's any way around it, frankly. And then the other part of the schedule that, well, you know, there's nothing really about the schedule that I do like. Utah, the weekend of Thanksgiving break at home. That game never draws well, no matter how good or bad the Cougars are. It just never draws well. The students are all gone. It's the weekend before Thanksgiving. Just nobody really wants to try and grin and bear the pass. That game does obviously draw well if it's an Apple Cup, but Utah, not really a big draw. That brings us to the other point on this schedule. It doesn't really inspire you to renew your season tickets, does it? Southern Utah, Idaho, Arizona State, Oregon State, and Utah in Pullman with a game against Stanford in Seattle. Pretty much the only reason I would renew my season tickets is so that I could keep them for the next year when we get Washington and Oregon at home. That's about the only reason, because only 4 home games against Pac-12 teams does not make it easy to get to that magical 6-win number. And not only that, only 6 home games, one of them in Seattle, against a schedule that makes me go, eh, at best. That's not going to bring in the donation dollars. That's not going to bring in season ticket renewals. I know a few people that are just going to keep their season tickets and try to sell them because they do want to keep it for the seasons down the road. But man, that is just a brutal home schedule, and brutal not in terms of being tough, but brutal just in terms of, wow, none of those games really sound appealing. Except for, as I said, Halloween night in Pullman. If they were going to give Washington State a Thursday night game, it had to be that one, just so we're clear, right? It absolutely had to be that game. I mean, that's the ideal situation, I think, to show off the best in class the Pac-12 has. And by class, I mean well-behaved and, you know, students who will comport themselves only in the best manner. This is going to be hilarious. It's going to be a really fun time. Kyle Rancourt coming up in just a moment to talk about Cody Clements here on the Kook Center podcast. All right, back again on the Kook Center podcast, joined by the always gorgeous and wonderful Kyle Rancourt here to talk a little bit about Cody Clements transferring in the quarterback situation for next year. Kyle, I am in sunny Burbank, California. How is Bothell, Washington right now?
Oh, it's fantastic. There's slush on the ground. There's gray clouds in the sky. You know, it's typical Washington weather.
Well, it's 52 down here, so I have the heat on. I feel your sympathy, kind of. So we found out Cody Clements is going to be transferring to a JC, you know, sometime here in the near future for next season. I think kind of the writing was always on the wall that he wasn't going to be at Washington State for his entire career. But, you know, he sat behind guys like Tool, Halliday, and he just never really made that leap. He just never really was that guy. What kind of made it difficult for him to move up the depth chart besides having two guys ahead of him that were just much more talented than he was?
Well, I think that's the biggest key right there is that while I always thought Clements was a good player, I just think that he was behind better players. And once Wolf left and we brought in Leach, I don't necessarily think that he was the perfect fit for Leach's system. Not that he was a bad fit, it's just accuracy wasn't his main attribute, whereas guys like Brugman and Apodaca, who we're going to talk about later, have accuracy in spades. So I think Clements will do better in a system that's more a spread system where he can kind of run around a little bit and get outside of the pocket. So he's going to go play JC ball down in California for a year, and who knows, maybe he'll replace Nick Montana at Tulane.
I was about to say, he's probably a guy who can end up at maybe a smaller Division I, you know, smaller BCS conference school, like a Tulane, something like that after his JC, or maybe even an FCS school. So starting's probably not out of the question for him eventually, is it?
Yeah, no, I think that he was a good fit when we were Paul Wolf's Cougars, but now that we're Mike Leach's Cougars,
yeah,
probably not anymore.
Sure, yeah, and it's always understandable, a guy like that wanting to transfer. I never have any problem with it. And we, of course, wish him the best of luck because I want him to play football. I want him to start somewhere, and I want him to have fun playing football. It's always a kind of a bad situation to be in when you're a quarterback who came here under one coach and now you got another one. So hopefully he does okay. I believe he's in Norwalk, California. I can't remember the name of the JC he's going to, but that
whatever
it is, yeah.
College.
Yep. So that brings us to our current quarterback situation, and now without Clements or Gilbertson, who's also transferring, what we have left, basically, assuming Brugman stays committed, Tyler Brugman, that is, and we have no indication otherwise to say that he would not stay committed, it's going to be him, Austin Apodaca, and Connor Halliday, basically your three quarterbacks for next year, and I can't be the only person who that makes just a little bit uncomfortable. Not saying Apodaca or Brugman aren't good, but they have no game experience in college. Now, in terms of your evaluations, what do you think in terms of who's better? Is it Brugman, Apodaca right now? Who would you take over the other?
Well, right now, I think it's Apodaca, and it's not really fair because he's had a year in Leach's system to sit and watch two other quarterbacks play and to kind of soak up all the knowledge and stuff. I would say evaluating both of their high school tapes, and I know high school stats are super important, as we've talked about ad nauseum. Watching both of their high school tapes, Apodaca is, in my mind, head and shoulders above Brugman. And that sounds weird because Brugman's the one that's getting all the huge hype because he's a four-star, he was on ESPN earlier this year, and he was supposed to be the big get for Leach. He was a hand-picked quarterback. But looking at what Brugman does well, which is accuracy, Apodaca also does well. And he also is a better runner. He has a stronger arm. He does everything that Brugman does and more. So I would actually not be surprised if it came down to the final weeks before the season and we had a quarterback battle between Halliday and Apodaca. That's how much I believe in Apodaca.
Well, yeah, I mean, you talk about Apodaca being an accuracy guy. He's more accurate. I mean, Jeff and Brian and you could go more into the kind of the more complicated statistics as you understand them. I'm not up to that yet, but 52.1% of his passes completed last year for Connor Halliday. He also threw 13 interceptions to 15 touchdowns. To call him inconsistent would be being polite to him, I think. So there's a real chance that Apodaca really could challenge for the starter because, in your opinion, just because of all these things he does so much better, we could have a redshirt freshman starting for a Mike Leach football team, which would be a rarity, I think.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily to rag on Connor Halliday, even though I love to make fun of Halliday because it just kills Brett Ward so much. But I just think that Halliday might not be the best fit for this system. Not that he's a bad quarterback, it's just that his first, second, and third reads are to chuck it deep, regardless of coverage, regardless of what's going on. That's just how he is. And that's cool. That's awesome for some offenses, but a timing-based offense where accuracy is key doesn't really work. Now, I'm not saying that he can't learn because he only spent 1 year in the system, so I'm not ready to give up on Connor Halliday yet. However, if we were starting fresh, just looking at both of these two quarterbacks, their skill set, Apodaca's skill set, tend to be ones that succeed more in this type of offense than the gunslinger mentality of Connor Halliday.
Do you think it might have had something to do in terms of his development, going back and forth between him and Toole in those couple games? They really went back and forth, especially against Oregon State. I know he was struggling, but Mike Leach seemed to really not be able to make up his mind. I know Toole got hurt earlier in the year, so that forced his hand to play Connor, but there was that kind of waffling back and forth. Could that have had anything to do with maybe stunting his development, so to speak, or maybe making it a little slower than we might like?
Yeah, and I think that did actually play a part in it. I don't know how big, but I do think it played a part in it. I know when you're the starter and it's your job no matter what, I think you kind of play more loose and you don't play as scared. Not that Connor played scared at all, but I think if you play with the, well, if I mess up once, I'm done. I get the hook. So I think if he goes into this next year knowing that the job is 100% his no matter what, I think it'll be better for him. But I don't know if that's the way Mike Leach wants to do it. He kind of reminds me of Pete Carroll, where he's like, I don't care who you are. You're going to compete for this spot. I'm not going to give you anything. But I would like to see him, once he names a starter, I would like to see him stick with that starter, whoever it is. I don't care if it's a walk-on. Just stick with the starter. Let them develop in the system. Now, that's not to say if they go out and throw six interceptions in the first quarter to stick with them, but I think that he was a little too quick with the hook on both guys this past year. So I would like to see some more consistency out of that from Leach.
Okay, now we're almost 9 months away from the first game at Jordan-Hare Stadium in Auburn, Alabama. I'm going to make you make a prediction right now, Connor Halliday or Austin Apodaca, or even for that matter, Tyler Brugman, who is under center on August 31st?
Connor Halliday. I want to say that it's going to be a pretty close battle because I really like what Apodaca brings to the table in terms of everything. I think he's a better runner than Tool was. I also think that Tool was, he used to be a better runner than he was this past year, and people kind of romanticized how good of a runner he is. He's a better runner than Tool. I think he's got better accuracy than Halliday. Halliday has a better arm, but Alpagaca has a really good arm as well. So I think he does. The only thing Halliday beats him in is experience and arm strength, and they've both had a year in the system, so experience in the system is kind of moot. But I think it's still going to be Halliday, because I still think being a redshirt junior is going to be an advantage, and I think he's probably more physically talented than Apodaca, but I wouldn't be surprised if Apodaca made it interesting at the very end.
Kyle Rancourt, always a scholar and a gentleman. Thank you, sir.
No problem.
All right, we're going to wrap up the Kook Center podcast right after this. Don't go anywhere, not that you would anyway. That'll do it for us here on the Coug Center podcast. I want to thank Kyle Rancourt for joining us. Talk a little bit about the quarterback situation at WSU. Next week, we'll try and hook up with the guys from SB Nation's Missouri Tigers blog, Rock M Nation. Talk a little bit more about what Washington State is getting in Dave Yost. As Brian already explained this week, we're getting a heck of a coach to be in the booth for Mike Leach, and he is a dynamic recruiter, something very important in the Pac-12 right now, especially when your cross-state rival has one of the best recruiters in the country. By the way, don't forget Washington State women's basketball, a very crucial game tonight, 6 o'clock on the Pac-12 networks against the University of Washington, a team they haven't beaten in a long time, and that losing streak, the person largely responsible for it, WSU's head coach June Doherty, still needing her team to improve in her 6th season as the head coach at Washington State. And hopefully they can do just that tonight. Thank you very much for joining us here on the Kook Center podcast. We'll be doing this every week. Hope you will be back with us. I'm Michael Preston. See you next time.